I'm Ash, and I'm going to talk about con side of this topic today. Biotechnology is the science of modifying genetic composition. When genetic material of one organism is incorporated into that of another one, the latter is referred to as a genetically modified organism. In the context of pest management, these GMOs are known as plant-incorporated protectants, which are one but do not make the most appropriate component of IPM. The premise that GMOs should be incorporated into management programs to provide acceptable protection against all pests is inconsistent with the basic principles of ecologically based IPM, which is a decision support system that integrates various techniques into a management strategy based on cost-benefit analysis, taking into account the interests of all stakeholders, which include all kinds of producers as well as consumers, and its impact on the environment, whereas the GMOs do not consider even one of these principles. GMOs are not panacea. They're just one of the several tools available for pest management. And over-reliance on any one of these tools could lead to several unintended problems, such as resistance, secondary pest outbreaks, new pest complexes, or their adverse effects on the environment. And by the way, GMOs are neither effective nor have been registered for use against all pests at all. The frequency of the resistant alleles against BT has already substantially increased all over the world, whereas based on extremely high potential of this resistance against BT, this technology has been referred to as a potential time bomb in India. And high-dose refuge strategy, as they mentioned, have been proposed to tackle this resistance problem, which is based on the assumptions that resistance alleles are rare and recessive. Random mating occurs between individuals in the BT crops and in the refuges, and high dose of the toxin is expressed throughout the season. And unfortunately, not a single assumption is valid universally. Let us see here. Initial frequency of 0.16 is not rare, is it? They are recessive only at extremely high doses. Otherwise, the genes or alleles are codominant. Random mating may not be even possible, because BT delays the development of insects. And high levels of toxins are not expressed throughout the season. What are we talking about? Do we have introduce any genes for yield in those crops? No. These crops cannot increase yield. The max they can do is protect yield. The reported increases of the yields are inconsistent, insignificant, and they do not translate into the economic benefit for the farmers when additional costs are taken into the account. And the study shows that the yield of BT cotton was significantly less as compared to the non-BT popular varieties in India. Pesticide use. The reported decrease in pesticide use can be partly attributed to the newly developed low-rate pesticides. And those reports do not include BT toxin itself in those calculations, which is a pesticide, which is regulated as a pesticide by EPA, and is applied as a prophylactic measure. Let me tell you one thing. The most economical and the most uncontroversial way of reducing pesticides is ecologically based IPM, not the GMOs. BT toxins can have adverse effects on the non-target organism by their movement through food webs. Crop residues can get to the aquatic systems and affect aquatic life, such as trichopterans. These BT toxins in the soil bind to the humic acid, can persist up to a year. The crop residues of these crops can decompose poorly, remain toxic, and can affect soil respiration. Transgenes, they can escape the crop and can adversely affect genetic identity of the wild plants, organic crops, as well as conventional crops. The regulation of this technology of these crops through voluntary compliance has led to several cases, you all know, of unauthorized or accidental releases of GMOs into the environment, which led to severe financial losses to the farmers as well as consumers. These genetic use restriction technologies is part of this technology, which makes this technology incompatible with the basic concept of sustainable agriculture by creating dependence of small farmers on the big corporations. Research shows that this technology is unsuitable for the farming systems in European Union. It's inappropriate for the developing countries, as well as uneconomical for the small-scale farmers who do not have resources or infrastructure to afford this technology. Based on the evidence presented here, we reject the premise that incorporation of GMOs into the insect pest management systems will universally reduce insecticide use, provide protection against all pests, or increase net economic returns for the farmers. With this, we are really thankful to Dr. Felsart, our faculty advisor, for his continuous guidance and support through the course of preparation, other faculty members and staff, as well as students in our Department of Entomology at Washington State University, as well as some faculty, some researchers at USDA Yakima in Washington. Thank you all.
Thank you, Washington State. The pro team will now have 3 minutes to ask questions. These questions are for the purpose of clarifying the statement that was just presented, and the answers will be restricted to answering the questions posed. Thank you.
Okay, the first thing I'd like to ask you, we were talking about the reduction of pesticides. Are you referring to pesticides in general, or are you doing just the insecticide reduction?
Insecticides.
Okay, thank you.
You mentioned that GMOs can be considered or were considered time bomb in India. Could you clarify on exactly what that means?
Based on the anticipation of the models they used to anticipate how far the resistance will develop, it shows that it will take only a couple of years. In addition to that, there is no really good regulation mechanism to watch how they implement those refuge strategies as well. So that's definitely about it.
Define all pests. Pretty much anything can be a pest
in
certain conditions or
events.
So how do you
determine what's
a pest?
It's part of the title, actually. I did not include this from myself. It's basically
any insect that can cause an economically damaging level of damage to a crop.
We now begin the rebuttal period, and this is a 2-minute rebuttal. We'll begin with the pro team.
Okay. One of the things that I'd like to talk about is the insecticide reduction. From the con team's perspective, they say that the pesticide use has actually increased. And from one of your papers that he used, which is Benberg 2004, he states himself that overall pesticide has increased, but what he's looking at is actually herbicide. Insecticidal use has actually seen a decrease with the introduction of genetically modified organisms. And so for a management practice, what you want to see is that you're getting an increase of a yield, and then for the purpose of our discussion is the decrease of the insecticides. And so what we'd like to prove, what we'd like to say is that insecticides are being reduced, even by the papers that you're citing yourself.
In that paper that you're mentioning, it says that there was a 5% decrease in insecticide use after the introduction of GM crops. And we believe that that can be mostly attributed to the introduction of lower rate application pesticides that have been developed since that time, as well as the increase in the adoption of IPM measures.
And actually, those calculations with 5%, if it shows 5%, they do not include BT itself as a pesticide. It is a pesticide. You have to, EPA accepts that.
In the paper you cited by Abdul Fayyam, was there any actual data collected from the farmers?
guess in these surveys, it's optional to respond. And 20% says whatever respond does, the response. You don't have any control on that, it's that survey. So they actually analyzed whatever the response was. They did not make analysis from anything else. So we got to accept that based on our scientific principles.
But isn't it possible that those okay. Got a negative response?
I'm sorry, that 2 minute rebuttal period is over for that. The econ team will now have 2 minutes to rebut the protein statement.
Again, can you please explain how would you calculate economic energy level or economic threshold for this technology? Number two.
If the farmers are spending less money to grow BT crops than they were before with insecticide use, or even if they're spending more capital at the beginning, but because of higher crop yields, whether it's due to just less cross damage or the GMO crops producing more and not being attached as much, if they're gaining more profit on a net scale, then to me that would mean that it's more profitable for the farmer to grow genetically modified organisms.
I'd like to respond to that. IPM, Integrative Pest Management, one of the central principles of it is that you are allowed to continually evaluate the situation with the pest and then respond, rather than applying treatments prophylactically, which we believe GM crops is the prophylactic application of the pesticide.
Wouldn't that be the same thing as spraying a field 3 times a year, no matter if you see pests or not?
Well, that wouldn't be IPM either. That's not a proper use of pesticide.
That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about IPM.
But that would include broad-spectrum insecticides, which you spray only one time. And that would, so that's also against the IPM standards, what you're arguing.
Actually, if you are aware of the recent literature, there are pesticides that are far more selective than those broad-spectrum insecticides. Actually, their LCP values with the mammals are very close to the BT. Such as Rynaxypyr is one of the recent products.
What you've argued about pesticides being sustainable within the ecosystem, even spraying an insecticide at the beginning of the crop season to combat the pests as you see them arise, it still has long-standing effects.
No, there's no IPM
that allows this pest. I'm sorry, that concludes your rebuttal period. However, you will each have a second rebuttal period, so you can ask the question then. Protein, this is your final rebuttal. You have 2 minutes.
The first paper that Andy mentioned with the 20% response rate, don't you think it's possible that people who had a negative experience are more likely to respond than those who either had an average growing season or those who did well?
I think that actually it's probably a seal of the converted, where the people that had a positive experience would be probably more likely to trumpet the advantage of these crops. But that's just my opinion.
Secondly, for the paper that you cited in regards to the trichopter that were affected, first off, that was a lab study, and we all know that what happens in the lab doesn't necessarily happen in the field. And even that paper points out that these pollen grains are only traveling 60 meters, and so that's perfectly, you can build that into your refuge and negate those effects. What are your thoughts?
Actually, based on the current recommendations for refuges and what are those called, buffer zones, the buffer zones are not enough. There is reference, lots of literature available that shows that these transgenes can be taken far away from the recommended refuges and kept to the other non-GM crops. But there are certain other references in our list as well, if you want to check that out. The GM crops increase yield. We did not introduce any gene to increase yield.
No, it's not that it's increased yield through through the genetic mod. Well, actually, they do have genetically modified organisms in which are designed to increase yield due to the fact that they're better tolerant for. Just give me a second. They're better drought tolerant. They're better heat tolerant. But what we're saying is for the use of GM products to increase yield due to the fact that there will be less pest damage to the actual crop.
We can get that benefit by using very selective pesticides that we have available now. That's what is our argument. But they're better than using prophylactically and not having control over it at all.
There have been studies that show that GM products are more effective than some of the sprayed insecticides.
Actually, there are far more effective insecticides out there right now. There are a couple of products that have recently been registered. 2008 was the first year for their application.
And actually, one of your own references showed, their study showed that there was no yield differences between the BT cotton and the non-transgenic cotton when conventional methods were applied.
One more comment. What do you mean by responsible use of GM crops that you mentioned in the talk?
Responsible use includes actually using your evidence. For example, one of your papers, I can't remember why, I believe, one of their statements was that the farmers were not using the refuse because they figured, well, it's such a good thing to have GMO crops, why don't we have them everywhere and not use the refuse?
Do we have any police to manage that, or should government invest a lot of tax dollars to set up a policing system to control the farmers to do that?
No, I mean, that's up to the farmers. It is up to the farmers to responsibly use their land, just like it's up to farmers right now to responsibly, you know, plant crops and have fallow periods and all that. You cannot force the farmer to do anything. Unless you can force them, you can instill responsibility in the farmer.
And one last question. You mentioned that there's less crop damage from targeted crop pests.
The 2 minutes left. Final rebuttal for the composition. Rebuttal periods are over. We now open the floor to questions by the judges. Judges, if you have any questions for either team, please ask them.
Each team will be limited in their response to 1 minute.
And judges, please speak into the microphone.
I just want to give your responses. I didn't hear much of either team talk much about one of the biggest concerns that's out there for GMO crops, and that's human health safety. You guys talk a lot about other things, but I didn't hear much about that. And so can I get just a 30-second feelings from both teams about how you would respond to this challenge that GMOs might possibly be adverse to humans, human health?
Protein, please go.
Currently, genetically modified organisms haven't been studied enough to determine if there are going to be human health effects. We know that in America there have been some concerns, and in the European Union, regarding increased allergen sites. But until more studies are done, I don't think that can correctly be evaluated. As it is now, I feel that I'm not positive, but I do not think most states, at least in the United States, require genetically modified organisms to be labeled in the stores. I do know that in the European Union they do. I do not know if that hinders or increases the purchase. But I believe that if the GMOs were causing human health risk in the United States, that we would have done that by now.
Actually, there was one question that was brought to my attention by scientists working in the area that...
I can't hear you very well.
Oh, sorry. Actually, there are some concerns about the methods that are used to evaluate toxicity to humans and mammals and other unintended targets. Is that... Even in the targeted pests, the toxicity is to the larval forms of the pest, and when we are evaluating the toxicity, we're using adult models usually to evaluate that, and there's not been any tests on toxicity to human or mammalian embryos in development or anything like that, so I would have some concerns over that.
That is why we argue that we should not have this technology in the field, because we don't know yet. And it took us 20 years to see the adverse effects of first insecticides that were introduced back in early 1900s. So we cannot say for sure that they are good. Better wait until we see something I have good enough evidence to support that they are safe, and then use it.
Okay, much of the discussion has been based on crop growth and development in developed countries like the U.S. or the European Union. What if we would look at crops that were pesticides, the use against pests were critical, and we're talking about less developed countries where regulations are not so strictly enforced or cannot be so more strictly enforced. Would it be more environmentally friendly to have this established amount of pesticide being administered through a GM crop, than allowing farmers to just pick and choose or get whatever they can to apply under a standard or unstandard method?
Actually, in developing countries, one of the primary means that they use to control resistance and their crops is seed trading, and that's actually that's a huge problem if you're dealing with a GM crop that they're not able to transfer their seed, or they start transferring these GM products outside of the places where they're supposed to be planting them. There's not a lot of regulations in developing countries protect the refuge strategies and stuff like that.
Yes, actually I come from a developing country, and the main situation is infrastructure and economy of the farmer. Those farmers cannot afford to go to a corporation and buy seed every time. Only 10% or even 5% of the farmers buy seed every year, and then they exchange seed next year with the other seed. That's just a product for them, not just a grain, not a seed that is genetically modified. So I guess it's not suitable for the developing country situations.
Well, the use of GM crops in a developing country would be a benefit. And mainly that is because they're using a large amount of insecticides, and because the regulations aren't as strict there, they're overusing these insecticides, which are creating resistance problems. And so the use of GM products would be good in order to reduce the amount of or the chemicals just entering into the environment. And that's, I think, where we'd like to stand on that.
Any other questions for the judges?
Actually, Roxanne, I had two questions. First one, specific to the pro side. You guys have mentioned, I heard this in your initial address, that you mentioned using GM crops responsibly for crop protection. I just wonder, what exactly do you mean by using responsibly? And I believe I heard in one of the rebuttals towards the end here, the Kahn team had asked you essentially who determines the criteria, and I think you answered the farmers. Please correct me if I'm wrong, but I didn't hear that. But what is used responsibly, and who's going to determine this criteria for use of for responsible use?
That wasn't exactly what I said. It might have been how I came across. The responsible use has to be determined by the scientists. That's our job, to determine what we can do and not interfere with the ecosystem, and how we can modify things and how to present these to people. However, the actual tool, you can only hand them to the farmers and the practitioners, and hope that they follow our response instead of our suggestions. We can't stand there and force them or to do it. In most countries, you know, some countries are sure they do that, but that obviously doesn't happen everywhere. So all we can do is give them the tools and say, this is how you do it, and explain to them the rationale behind how we do it, what we do it, and suggest it, and just give them the tools to use those results.
Thank you for that clarification. I want to ask one question to the Kahn team now.
So can we respond to the same question and then...
No, you can ask. Oh, apologize. That is a question from the judge, so please go ahead.
Can I go ahead?
Yeah, well, I was more specific trying to clarify their position on this one. For you guys, you had mentioned GM crops, you can develop resistance, but you can also develop resistance, let's say, with pesticides. How can you argue against or justify removal of GM crops as a tool when you're not arguing for removal of pesticides as a tool just because resistance can develop?
Actually, we have a better control over ban other pesticides. pesticide, a renewal of pesticide, as compared to the GM crops, even within a season. If we see some signs of resistance, we can immediately stop. One farmer has used, we can stop other farmers to use using that from that chemistry and apply another chemistry. But once GM crops, we don't have control. Once it's in the seed, you got to deal with it. And it's kind of prophylactic use without any control at all.
Yeah, prophylactic use of pesticide is one of the leading causes that leads to resistance developing. So that's our argument.
Yeah, that puts extremely high selection pressure on those genes, and they are selected for resistance.
Thank you.
We're going to have to cut the question short because in order to allow the topic three question teams to come up. So we can thank both teams.